हरिः Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. Page 33. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary on verse 4. The Brahmana protects the Kshatriya by the strength of his austerity. The Kshatriya protects the Brahmana by the strength of his body. Actually, however, the Supreme Lord, who is the cause and the effect, who is without change, protects both. Right? Because he's the source of everything, right? So he's the masculine principle, he's the feminine principle, right? Because it's not different than him. So actually, he's what's working here. Does that make sense? So that's always going to be that. But it's represented through the Brahmins and Kshatriyas. So that it functions in that capacity. Because the whole point is that you have this original principle, but it's no the taste is in its manifestation. And that manifestation then has so many varieties, and that's what gives the taste. Because if it's only there's one way of doing something, and that's all, then it gets boring, right? So then you have the variety of ways of doing it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Right.
So that's it. The person sitting in the country, right? He's right there, the field's right there, everything's very simple, mm-hmm. right? But he finds it boring, right? He goes to the city, right? Very exciting, lots of high energy and all that. He's stuck in traffic for 2 hours every day going to work. But, you know, it's different than the city. It's exciting. Give it some time. It's boring. You understand? So the point is that's why the need of variety. So this cause and effect principle is going to be manifest throughout everything in the universe. So it gives the same principle of functioning, but unlimited variety of manifestation. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. Yeah. So that's the yes.
But Maharaj, we can say the Lord is also protecting everyone.
Yes. No. That's there. But the point is, if you have the Brahman and Kshatriya, because that's what's the point of conversation, because you have Brahmins and Kshatriyas together. But two, if you have Brahmins and Kshatriyas, you automatically have the safe environment for Vaishyas and Shudras. Mm-hmm. You understand? Because whether you have a safe environment or not, Vaishyas and Shudras will try to function.
Yes.
Right? So it's just a matter of whether there's a scientific, well-arranged environment for them to function in, or there's not. Mm-hmm. Right? Because you're talking that the majority of the population is Vaishya and Shudra.
Yes.
So therefore, then you're going to need to have the proper environment. Just like if you want to cook, where do you go?
Kitchen.
The kitchen, right? You don't go out on the front sidewalk, right? You know, the kids do that, but, you know, or out in the backyard under the bush, right? Then they're cooking, right? You know, like that. Get some leaves, get some sticks, you know, it's all happening. Right? So what is it? You need an environment. That's the whole thing. So for the Vaishyas and Shudras to function, there must be the environment. That's created by the Brahmins and Kshatriyas. So if in the whole Varnashram system you only discuss Brahmins and Kshatriyas, you still discuss the whole system. Like you see in Manu, basically you could say the first six chapters are about the Brahmins. Then the next, you know, three, four chapters are about the Kshatriyas. Right? Then only then there's just some general philosophy. Vaishyas and Shudras take up, you know, half a page or one page between them. Right? Because it's not that there's not a lot to learn, but it only affects itself. What the Brahmins and Kshatriyas do affect the whole society. But what the Vaishya does affects his business. You know what I'm saying? And as long as he's following the principles that are laid down by the Brahmins and Kshatriyas, then it won't unfavorably affect society. It'll be favorable. But if you ignore the principles of the Brahmins and Kshatriyas, then business is going to affect everything else. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole thing, is because it's looked at, people are, for the business, people are a source of income. So the point, if they're buying, then they're useful. If they're not buying, what's the use? Does that make sense? So, you know, people who don't drink alcohol, of what use are they to the alcohol industry? Those who are vegetarians and vegans, what use are they to the meat industry? Those who don't smoke, what use are they to the, you understand? So what are they going to try to do? Create an advertisement in that to get people interested. Keep those who are already interested, interest more. You understand? So that's also, then in doing that, to get them interested, you basically either have to put an ideal, you know, or you have to, cater to lust and greed. You know, envy, attachment, desire. So it's either higher ideals or lower ideals. One or the other work. You know what I'm saying? So not something else. So how many are using the higher ideals? Not so many. Right? They want to raise funds for charity, they use the higher ideals. Now and again, depending upon who you're targeting, they're doing some ideals. Like someone pointed out to me, driving from the airport into the city, in all the city, you know, wherever you go, there's all kinds of billboards. Now, some of the billboards you can relate to, and some of the billboards you can't relate to. And I was talking with somebody, I forget what they were, I think they were in advertising. And they said all those ones you can't relate to are for the guys that are on, you know, business and first class on the airplanes.
Google chief evangelist. The Google chief evangelist.
Okay. Yeah, so it's stuff for them. The common person doesn't mean anything, but the point is you need a certain balance, because the majority is common people. But that other guy, if he buys something, he buys, you know, worth thousands or tens of thousands of a common person. Like that. You understand? So with them, they maybe it's ideals and practical and, you know, these kind of things. But the common person, sometimes it's ideals, but sometimes it's not. You know, it's like, let's say you're doing baby food, then, you know, healthy baby, happy baby, you know, stuff like this. Okay, then there's some ideals, protection or, you know, like that. But otherwise, and generally it's not, you know. We mentioned yesterday, the guy uses the deodorant, walks out of his house, and as he walks down the street, more and more ladies, very qualified, high class, intelligent, very beautiful, wealthy women start following him down the street. You know, now that's not catering to a higher ideal here. Right? Does that make sense? You know, or let's say, I remember I was looking at this, I forget where it was, but looking at some children's clothes, and the advertising point of it was just think about how jealous or envious all the other ladies are going to be when your kid wears this stuff. It's so good. Like that. I was thinking. And this was high-end stuff, and I was just like, okay. So they're not going for, you know, the finer points. Does that make sense? So that's why in the society you want to bring out these higher points, because then there's the sense of duty, the sense of, you know, cooperation, working together, the mode of goodness. And as we see is coming up, is that Kapila Muni is going to be establishing that point. Is that mode of ignorance? It means mode of goodness is knowledge. Mode of passion, there's no knowledge. Generally, we think it's knowledge. You use knowledge, but it's not about gaining knowledge. It's about gaining sense gratification, like that. Ignorance is just about you don't enjoy. You have no knowledge. You don't enjoy. You just exist. Right? Does that make sense? So you're trying to bring out the mode of goodness, which means knowledge and duties. Right? And for it to work, there must be detachment. Right? If I take my investment and spend it on a vacation, how does my business go?
Not good.
Not good. So you have to control your senses, keep your investment, and use it. And then later when you get profits, you know, then you can spend it. And now I put in 100,000 and I'm only getting back 10,000. Right? So I can only spend that much if I don't want to reinvest. Now, if I want to expand it, then I have to reinvest that. I may only get, you know, a couple of thousand. So what? How do you do that? Sense control. The common person doesn't have that. You know what I'm saying? The common person wins the lottery. They go nuts. How many people win the lottery, win, you know, $100 million, then go down and buy choice properties that have good resale value, and, you know, invest in, you know, blue chip companies, and, you know, how many do that? No. I remember one devotee telling me, I'm not sure if I told this one, that he was before he joined, he was dealing in drugs. So, and this was would have been back in, you know, 60s, 70s. So he would get the drugs, fly into the country, sell it, he'd get $30,000. And that time, people, the average person made $12,000 a year, $1,000 a month. That was a good salary, good middle class salary. He'd make $30,000. He'd blow it all in a few weeks. Staying in hotels, gambling, this, that, like that. Then he'd go back and get more. You know, and then do that. And that was his lifestyle until he joined. And he was telling me this because he was very sick from the lifestyle. He was now lamenting, you know, what a waste of time. Does that make sense? So that's the problem, is that unless the higher qualities are brought out, that's why one can say, well, what about the Vaishnava and Shudra? Is you don't have to deal with them. If you're dealing with the one, the other thing's going to... You know, if I'm cooking properly, do I have to worry about that the cauliflower is going to have taste or flavor? No, it already has. I have to bring it out and make it accessible. So that's the thing. I just have to worry about that. I have to worry about the cooking process. The eating process will go nicely. If I cook nicely, eating will go nicely. I don't cook nicely, eating doesn't go nicely. Does that make sense? So that's why you see in the Shastra, generally it only focuses on Brahmins and Kshatriyas, like you see in Bhagavatam, or great devotees. So they might be Vaishyas or Shudras, but the thing you're bringing out is the devotional element. Right? Because that's the important thing. So the Brahmins and Kshatriyas, because it gives a basis for the devotional development. As we were saying, proper work, give, you know, the proper duties, the duties to renunciation to devotion. So in Brahmins and Kshatriyas, then it's all about knowledge, renunciation, and duties. So it's progressive. So then here in Bhagavatam, it's connected to devotion. So it works out. Now, there is one Shastra I know that focuses basically on Vaishyas and Shudras. Like that. It's called Katacharit Sagara. It's 7 volumes of just pure Gandharva Prajalpa. You think Prajalpa is, you know, good. You read this stuff, it makes whatever's going on here look really ordinary. You know? And you think, wow, this is pretty good. But after about 2 or 3 stories, you can't handle it anymore. It's just pure unalloyed prajna. It's just like, you know, where's the Krishna consciousness? Like that. Does that make sense? There, then they focus on Vaishyas and Shudras. Because then all the interesting stuff is going. If you want Pajalpa, that's where it's going on. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that it does happen. Niti also uses a lot of examples from Vaishyas and Shudras. Also Brahma Kshatriyas, but a lot from Vaishyas and Shudras. Like that. So the higher up the body of knowledge, then it basically focuses around the Brahmins and Kshatriyas, because that same knowledge is what's used by everybody, right? The Brahminical culture, that knowledge of the Brahmins is used by the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. It's the same thing. And how you organize and manage and do all that, because everybody does do that, that's also used by all the Brahmins. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes. Yes.
In what way does the Supreme Lord protect both? It's in this verse it says that the Supreme Lord is protecting both Kshatriyas and Brahmanas. In what way does he protect them?
Because he is the cause and effect. Does that make sense? Means why are you doing something? That's the cause. Having done it, you have an effect. So the Brahmins, they're giving the reason why things are done, how they're done. The Kshatriyas are doing them, getting the effect. So actually that knowledge and that is the cause, and that the work in that's the effect, is still Krishna. You understand? So the potency behind the Brahmin and Kshatriya, that's Krishna. Yeah, they're following the scripture. That's right. Does that make sense? And it's the knowledge. The knowledge is Krishna. Krishna speaks the knowledge, as Kapila Muni point out, is he speaks, and he only speaks what's useful, what's beneficial. There isn't something else that he speaks. Therefore, it's going to be, it's always valuable. Right? And then what he's speaking is how, what you do. And so the Kshatriyas, that's their focus. Does that make sense? So the Brahmins is knowledge and what should be done, and the Kshatriyas is applying it and getting the effect. So that's why the two go together. Right? You can't really separate them. Does that make sense? If you're working on the social platform, Brahmins need Kshatriyas. And Kshatriyas can't function without Brahmins. They may try to, and sometimes you get Brahmins who try to function without Kshatriyas. Yes. You know, but you know how much of a social system is established by anarchists, right? Nothing. Or intellectuals sitting in their room and stuff like that. They have nice theories, but unless someone takes it and applies it, nothing happens. Does that make sense? Yeah. So they may think they can function on their own, but generally it doesn't make too much trouble. When Kshatriyas try to function as Brahmins, they tend to make a lot of trouble. Right? Because there's effect. Right?
So what about this, Raja Rishi, you know?
Raja Rishi.
Raja Rishi, yeah. He's a king and he's also a Rishi, I mean.
Yeah, well, he's a Rishi because he follows the Brahmins. That always makes him a Rishi. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's not that he's all in one. So, in other words, you know, the golden emperor can't function on his own. He has to have some ministers.
But then he's on the top. Because
but that's his idea. He's on the top socially to the people. But he's not on the top in his own functioning. If he doesn't respect and all that the Brahmins, then how is it going to work? You know what I'm saying? Right? The Golden Emperor, he's not the one making up the Confucius philosophy. So he needs ministers to explain it, how to apply it. Does that make sense? He goes to war, then he has to listen to people give him ideas how to apply Sun Tzu.
Yeah, like
you understand?
Like Mao, you know, he's the king, and he also wants to be the guru of everybody.
And how did that work out? Right? How did that do?
He failed.
Right, so that's the point. So those leaders who follow the advice of the Brahmins, they're successful. It's just like, let's say, in the Western environment, because otherwise generally you don't have anybody, but, you know, the one outstanding is King Arthur. And so what is he known for? It's just King Arthur himself?
Round table.
Yes, and he's got this round table where all these other guys are there and giving him directions. So he's known for being a great king and everything like that. Not necessarily a great husband, but a great king. Right?
He's got a wizard.
Yeah, he's got a wizard. Right? His descendant is in New York. Right? Yeah. Okay.
But like in China, the Confucians, they also work for the king. I mean, they are not.
It's not that they're separate. That's the thing. You can't separate them. It means who's going to apply the Confucius knowledge? The king. Where is he going to get it from? The Brahmins. So it's one entity. That's what he's. See, that's the whole point that he's trying to point out here. The Brahmins and Kshatriyas are technically one entity. Two aspects of one entity. You know, just like husband and wife, it's one entity, but two aspects. So Brahmins and Kshatriyas, because he has to prove equality, otherwise why is it that Kardama is going to accept Devahuti?
So it means each of them can carry the both functions.
No.
Like a king could be...
No, it's that Brahmins. They each have a compatible aspect to the other function. One has the knowledge and knows how to apply it. The other can apply it based on the knowledge. Does that make sense? In other words, there is a whole science behind it. Just like, let's say, you take business. How much of a science is it? There is a science, but how is it learned? It's just passed. Either you figure it out yourself, because you have the genes, so you work it out. Right? You know, like, what's his name? Levi did, right? Okay. Yeah, right? Or you learn from someone else who has that knowledge. You don't learn at the MBA course. That just teaches you what's going on in the modern world, modern things. But the principles of what makes business, that they can never teach you. Because they don't know themselves. If they knew, they'd be doing it.
Yeah.
You understand? What guy is going to sit there at the university getting, you know, $5,000 a month when he could be using the same principles and making millions? Right?
Yeah.
Right. So that's the whole point.
So it means they're Brahmins. They're
Brahmins.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. They know the science. Now, if you have a Vaishya, then bingo, you have that. Otherwise, what they do is they teach sudras who the Vaishyas hire. Does that make sense? That's what's going on. So, and Shudra, it's that he just sits there and plays on the... There is a science, but without the science, he just plays with the instrument and gets it to work. Now, if he knows the science, better. But you don't have to know the science to be a good musician. Generally, the ones that know the science, those are the Brahmins. They teach it. They may or may not be a good musician. That's understood. In the music world, you have excellent teachers, but they're not necessarily great musicians. But a great musician can learn everything from a teacher who is a good teacher. So even though he can't play as good as the student, it's the student couldn't be that good without that teacher. You understand? So it's just about the practice. So that's the thing, the Brahmins, the Vaishya and Shudra, it's a matter of practically applying it. It's not about the theory. Well, the Brahmin and Kshatriya, there's tons of theory that you need to know and character that you have to make it work. The Vaishyas learn the same thing because they do have to apply that character, as we said, in business. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And ideally, there's some character in the Shudras so that you can actually have a progressive economic foundation. Because if the Shudras don't have character, how do the Vaishyas work with them? You know, if a guy's not honest, he's not responsible, he doesn't cooperate with others, he can't understand what he's supposed to do, the direction of the business, then how it will function. You understand? So it's already, what they're using is Brahmin and Kshatriya stuff, right? So the Shudras are using the character of the Brahmins, the Vaishyas are using the character of the Brahmins, and the technical managerial aspect of the Kshatriyas. Right? And those Shudras who can know the managerial aspect, those are your supervisors. Do you understand?
Yeah, yeah.
So you only have Brahmin and Kshatriya aspects. The Vaishya and Shudra are practical.
They just apply the knowledge and the character. I mean, the Vaishyas and Shudras, you just apply the knowledge and the character.
Yes. From the Brahmana. Like that. Yes. So that's why we're saying is you don't have to have something separate. You know, it's just like the mother's cooking in the house. Now does the father have to cook, the kids have to cook, everybody's got to cook. Has she just cooked enough for herself? So if she cooks, everybody eats. Right?
Yeah.
The father makes the money, everybody's got money.
Yeah.
Right? There's a house, everybody's got a room. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing, is you only have to have the Brahmins and Kshatriyas and automatically everybody else has what they need. So that's why in the Vedic culture it focuses on the Brahmins and Kshatriyas. And of that, it's on the Brahmins. You create Brahmins. Brahmins only can create Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas only can create the social structure. So if there's no social structure, it means there's no Kshatriyas. If there's no Kshatriyas, it means there's no Brahmins. You understand? So that's how it works. Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah. So like in China, you know, they destroy the Confucians, you know, culture of Confucian. So now they have no Brahmanas.
Yeah, so then it means, and so how are they making everything work? They have to bring in the Vaishya aspect, which is totally against communism.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So they had the Hong Kong, right, you know, did, when they went into Hong Kong, did they turn it into communism? No. Just they manage from the back. They leave it totally capitalist. Otherwise, how do they make the money?
Yeah.
So everything's based on, so only because they have money, they're functioning. Russia wasn't as smart, it fell apart. Right? I mean, the mafioso, they're smart, but, you know, other than them, you know, it's not a viable economy.
Yeah, they were cheated, actually. By Westerners.
Whatever it is. The point is that the Chinese understood without money, because the point is that it was dreamt up by a Brahmin who didn't know administration. So it's not a viable system. It works for Shudras, but it doesn't work for Brahmins, Kshatriyas, or Vaishyas. So communism, or you could say the milder form socialism, that's how Shudras like to work. Shudras want to do their job and get taken care of. And in the Shudra's mind is, I have a bigger family, I should get more money. Not that I do more work.
Yeah.
So what is that? That's communism.
Yeah.
He works according to his ability, and he should get according to his need. That's how a Shudra thinks. So it's a perfect system for Shudras. But it doesn't make for society. It doesn't cultivate the economic, the administrative, or the or intellectual aspects. First thing they do, what did they do? They got rid of all anybody with money, and anybody with a brain,
yeah,
and anybody who had any power.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they all went to Taiwan and made tons of money.
Yeah.
Right? Or went to, you know, the West and opened restaurants.
Cultural revolution.
Yeah. I think it should have been devolution. That would have been the appropriate term. You understand? So, The thing is it's a great system for the Shudras, but you need democracy, capitalism for the Vaishyas. You know, you need the administrative aspect, or the, you know, by like monarchy and autocracy for the Kshatriyas, and you need intellectual freedom for the Brahmins. So now all these systems are opposed to each other. Right? You have complete control with the Kshatriyas, you have no control with the Brahmins. You have totally, you know, making money and just being taken care of. How do you put all that together? So only the Vedic system can run all those four at once. Right? Because if you can do the top two, the other two function. Right? I can only take care of people if I have something if I have a structure in which I can take care. And I can only make money if there's a safe structure to function in. And I can only make a structure if there's intellectual direction. Does that make sense? So if I have the intelligentsia, I have the structure, then economics will automatically go on, and then by that proper structure, then the common person will be taken care of. Does that make sense?
In the present situation, how can we bring Brahminical intelligence to society?
It has to be valued. If it's valued, then people use it. It's used, but it's not the majority thing. Like you generally see is that the tops in the, at least the Western world, they generally have some close advisors, and they function from them. Does that make sense? It's not that the advisors run it. No, the administrator runs it. Like the president has his cabinet, but he makes the decision and he gets it done. The cabinet gets advice. They're the ones that know the area the best in the country. And they give the advice. So the system is there, but it's only for niti. Right? So that works. It's not for actually the whole social culture and that, so it's not complete. But it still works because it has that. Does that make sense? Yeah, so you can't get away without using it if you want something to stand. But then you have to raise the quality of it. So that's why the Vedic system is meant that it will be sustainable. Otherwise, these others, how long is sustainable? Because in the Vedic system, you're talking, you know, is it sustainable for millions of years? Then that's called sustainable. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, you go a few hundred years, and then, you know, every country for a few hundred years, you know, runs the place, and then disappears. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, Rome lasted for how long? Disappeared. The East Empire lasted 1,000 years longer, and then disappeared. You know, each, you know, you call them, what do you call them? You call them civilizations and stuff like that. And how long do they last? Right? They always disappear, especially post-Christianity. Pre-Christianity, generally they have a longer history. Right? Because they follow closer to the Vedic system. Post-Christianity, then it's, you know, Christianity was the original cultural revolution. You know, destroy all the culture, destroy all the knowledge, everything, all the systems, and then replace it with faith. You know, so then the problem it doesn't. So the Vedic system is how you can have structure and faith, how you can balance the whole thing. That makes sense? So that's what is being brought out here. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like the Chinese people know they are crazy after whales. In the cover they're communist and something like a monarchy.
Yeah, but the whole point is you say whatever you want, but things are in reality what they are. You know what I'm saying? Do the big oil companies of the world really care about the environment? No, but they say they do.
Yeah.
Because that way then, you know, you'll still buy petrol from them.
You make more money.
Yeah, you make more money. Does in some instances, you know, so they already know that you can make, you know, out of corn and this and that, you can make petrol and run your car. It's been done. World War II, so many places, they ran their whole, you know, all their machines with alternative fuel. But how much money you'll make off of it? You know what I'm saying? You have some corn, and then you produce something from it. What's the difference? Not much. You have, you know, crude oil, and then you make whatever it is on this end, and the difference is very great. So it's not that they care about the environment; they care about money. They're businessmen. So that's what we're saying. Without Brahmas to direct and Kshatriyas to control, Vaishyas will do anything to make money. You know, Shudras will do anything to have a good time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's all.
So that means these ministers, I mean, we need some Brahmanical training.
Yes. Therefore, the Vedic educational system. The modern doesn't address character. They always talk about it, but they don't address character. Where's the time? When do they teach you? You come into the classroom, English class. What are you going to learn? English. Okay, don't, you know, no spitballing, no texting. You know, no behaving badly to the teacher. That's the limit. And they don't teach you, because if you do that, they send you to the principal. Principal calls your mom. So they just don't do it. So, okay, in recess, is that where they teach you? Lunchtime. You know what I'm saying? The only one that a little bit deals with character is the guy who teaches PE. And he's considered the bottom of the barrel when it comes to teachers. You know? That's what they're saying. If you can't teach, teach PE.
What is PE?
Physical education.
Oh,
you know, like running and, you know, all that kind of thing, push-ups, and all that. No?
Yeah.
They expect a little bit of character. Like that. You know, the shop teaches wood shop, metal shop, but those are considered bottom. They're not intellectual. They're the only ones that deal with character.
Yeah.
And because they're the bottom, no one cares.
Yeah.
But the other ones, you know, knowledge is important, character's not.
Yeah.
So there is nothing in the modern academy for dealing with that. They talk about it, but they don't have it. The Vedic, it's all about the character. If you have the character, then what skills you know you can use. Otherwise, what's the point of teaching skills if you don't have character? So basic skills you teach to everybody, but advanced skills you only teach to those with character.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Actually, a student teaches character.
Okay. That's good.
There's more kids, like, they were giving my children some exercise when they were small, try to find someone who did something good for you, and, you know, try to be their secret friend, like helping the person doing 1 week.
But do they teach what's good? They say, find someone who does something good. How do you define good?
Yeah.
This person gave me a lolly. He's good.
Actually, the story is common that is trying. So maybe it's some good balance.
Okay, yes. But that's since when? Since when? Since they figured out that things are falling apart. Right. In other words, all those, how you say, very tall, blonde, blue-eyed guys that the Germans, you know, how you say, organized, didn't always work out so good. You understand? So it's in modern times they've done this.
No, like Chinese government, they want to revive Confucian in China, in the society.
Someone to?
Yeah, in school and even
in the... Yeah, there are schools that do it.
Administrative circle.
Yeah, no, it's good. If they do that, then nice. Okay. We'll move on. Srila Prabhupada elaborates. Kshatriyas are specifically meant to maintain the Brahmanas, because if the Brahmanas are protected, then the head of civilization is protected. Brahmanas are supposed to be the head of the social body. If the head is clear and has not gone mad, then everything is in proper position. Right? In other words, you wouldn't have Rasputin as your Brahmin. Like that. The Lord is described thus, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. The purport of this prayer is that the Lord specifically protects the Brahmanas and the cows, and then he protects all other members of society. Jagat Hitaya. Right, so if those are in place, because from cows you get the milk, yogurt, ghee, everything used for sacrifice. Right? You pay the deities, you need these things, cow urine, cow dung, you need a cow tail brush to clean the deities. So it's all about the cow. Right? Then, you know, you do yagyas, you need ghee, you do the abhishekas, you need that. So it's a basic food, it's all about dairy. Right? You know, you cook for the deities in ghee, not mustard oil. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the thing. If that's there, then you have Brahminical culture. Does that make sense? Then, that in place, then you can establish kshatriyas. And then kshatriyas will create the environment that the vaishyas and shudras will prosper. You don't have to create vaishyas. They create themselves. You know what I'm saying? It's natural. You don't have to create them. You have to give, proper environment, and proper direction. But the business, they'll take care of. Arts, they'll take care of. Right? The kid's in his garage, and then, you know, next thing you know is you have an international band. But it was a bunch of kids in a garage. So you don't have to. They'll create themselves. The Brahmas and Kshatriyas won't just create themselves. It has to be coming down. It has to be descending. That's where Krishna comes. We see in this, Shankya has been lost. It's an eternal principle. It's been lost with Kapila Muni's coming to reestablish Shankya. Because this is necessary for the Brahminical and Kshatriya culture. Yes?
When Srila Prabhupada came and said that he wanted to create a class in Brahmins,
right.
What did he mean?
How?
According to this discussion.
Means you create Brahmins, and of Brahmins specifically Vaishnavas. And then Vaishnavas naturally understanding the connection and faith in Krishna, Guru Krishna, and Shastra, and sadhu like this, then we'll naturally then see how does the scriptures function, and then teach that. Then the others will get trained, and then they will function on the basis of here. Otherwise, Kshatriya Vaishya, the tendency will be whatever's practical to get it done, they'll use niti as the first thing. They won't go to dharma. Because dharma takes time, right? So you want to establish that it's got to be by dharma. But dharma, the real dharma, is devotion. So that means there has to be detachment from the material world and devotion to the Lord. So you have to be able to look at dharma going out of the material world rather than dharma going into the material world as artha and kama. Because dharma will automatically create artha, which gives facility for kama. Right, so you don't have to worry about that. Does that sound okay? Yeah. Does that sound okay? So that's how it's supposed to go. But if we drop the Brahminical culture and go for the Western culture, then what is there to generate something of substance? Right, we use the intellectual, but the intellectual has been separated from reality in the 1700s, when in the Age of Enlightenment. So that's when all the speculation and education started. Otherwise, before that, it was pretty straightforward. The systems hadn't changed for 1,000 years. Right? But then now it suddenly changes, because now you don't have to connect it. There is no absolute authority. There is no absolute standard. So anything anybody comes up with in their mind, then that's fair game. So they've been arguing over, at least in English, if it's, you know, linguistic or phonetic. For the last 200 years, literally. Like that. So, you know, this has been going on. But before that, they had one system, everybody learned English, and it was pretty straightforward. Now they got so many systems, and everybody's got their own idea.
And nobody learns.
Like that. So that's the difficulty, is that as soon as you separate, so intellectually it doesn't have a strong foundation because there's no such thing as absolute. There's no conclusion. Kshatriya, it's not based on absolute, so therefore, what's the direction? So it's just management to maintain power and control. It's not about protection. It's about the control. Vaishyas, it's just about making money. Right? Shudras, it's just about doing what you like, feeling free, enjoying yourself. So there's no direction. Now in that, because that's pretty rough, and people with a brain will understand that's rough, so you put a veneer of niceness on it by some ideal, you know, equality and fraternity, equity, all these kinds of things. You put that on and it looks good. When did that come up? When did they say that? In the Age of Enlightenment, right? The late 1700s. That's when it was said. They didn't say that before. You understand? So that's the whole thing. You put that veneer on it. But it's the same thing. That's all. It's just like, I take, you know, some preparation, and it's like we discussed this before. You take some pretty ordinary preparation. I say in English, it sounds pretty ordinary. I say the same thing in French, it sounds fabulous. You know what I'm saying?
Same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing. But it sounds fabulous. If I say, okay, we're having snails, it doesn't sound very good. That's, how do you say, escargot?
Yeah. Escargot, yeah.
Yeah, then it sounds, ooh, that sounds interesting. You understand? That's all it is. So that's what's happened, is they've taken whatever they're complaining about in medieval, that, you know, that's going very medieval, right? You know, as it gets rough, they say, you know, hey, the guy's going medieval, you know, or, you know, I'm going to go medieval on you if you do that. You know, it's like, so all you do is put this little veneer of this enlightenment little words on it, and now it sounds fabulous. You know? That's all. There's no difference. It's not that anything that goes on then doesn't go on now. It's just that there's a veneer on it so you don't see it. Does that make sense? So the difficulty comes is that there is therefore nothing to gain from using the modern systems on their own. It doesn't mean you can't use details from the modern system as time, place, and circumstance, but if it's not based on the eternal principles, and that a devotion, then it's useless. So just saying we can use everything in Krishna's service, but it has to be in Krishna's service. How is something going against the Vedic principles service to Krishna? How will that be? You know, and trashing your house and saying I'm doing it for you. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the difficulty. Now, in Kali Yuga, where is the piety to follow the Vedic principle? To follow Brahminical culture? It's like, who's born with it? Right? Very few. So therefore, if you want to make it en masse, then you have to start from the top, from Vaishnava. And practicing devotional service, Vaishnava, it gives you the piety to actually follow the Vedic culture. And then from that, then you can establish the culture. But if you use the piety then to re-look at the Western lifestyle and think that that's going to make everything function, that's a misuse. Because it has never proven that it works. Everybody talks, oh, well, you know, one day we'll have, you know, no boundaries, no this, no that. You know, who's saying that? The advertisers. Does the governments think that? Do the governments think, yes, we'll have no countries, it'll just be all open, everything is free, anybody can move around as they please. Any governments agrees with that? No. So, you know, do the Vaishyas want that? No. Because the point is, I sell the DVD here, it won't work over here. Right? I'm selling it here, you can't ship it over here. Right? Without a tax. You know, so it just doesn't function. They don't want it. So who wants it? Shudras want it because they just want to do what they want. The intellectuals, it sounds great because they don't know how to manage or make money. And so we're going to base our possible, you know, how you say, gain in safety on something that hasn't proven itself? Never proven itself. You know, you can say, no, but we're working on in the last 2,000 years, as it were. Take it back another 1,000 years into the Greeks. You know, and the only thing from the Greeks that anyone generally remembers is, okay, they got, you know, some, what do you call it? Oh, actually, those aren't even from the Greeks. You know, is Socrates. And he functioned on absolute truth. And that's why they killed him. So then you could say the trouble began in the post-Socratic period. You know? And, you know, which became worse after the post-Christian. Yes? No? Maybe? Want to say something?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
There is a doubt that if we want to create Brahminical society, we need Brahmanas.
Right.
And Brahmanas, they have their own nature, and nature doesn't change. And then, as you explained previously, Vaishnavas, they're higher than Brahmanas,
right,
which is okay, but then we see people follow their own nature.
Right.
Although they're Vaishnavas,
right,
but then society is not really functioning nicely because they're not Brahmanas, although there are many Vaishnavas.
Right.
So how is that going to...
Then you have the element of respect. Just like we were discussing before, you know, in the 60s, 70s, anything Prabhupada said, then that's just what happened. Anybody who's having an argument on something, the third party came in and said, no, but Prabhupada said this. That was it. The argument was over. You know, and I remember when it came to technical things, how you did things and stuff like that. Achyutananda said it, that's what happened. So you don't need a lot. You know, we're talking about in both situations, one person.
Yes.
It functions. So you do have devotees who are conditioned nature Brahminical. And so if the Brahminical is respected, and you know it's seen that it's, and by the Vaishnava standard, it's going in the right direction, it's for development of devotion, not just intellectualism or anything else like that. You don't want to get just, you don't want to create scholars. But you want to create devotees. But it's used like that, then it can be done. But you have to see that that's in place. And then everybody as Vaishnav then is preachers and teachers. But you still have to have that conditioned element of... Does that make sense? Yeah. But if there's no respect for authority, then how will it function? And that's the difficulty with the modern society. It doesn't have respect for authority. It used to have. It doesn't anymore. Like I was seeing one thing on Gurkhas. The Gurkha regiment is unique in that their following of rules and their loyalty is unmatched at any level of any army. The commander in charge, he says that you see it when they respect their parents, they respect whoever's running, they do what they're told. And he says it's not because they're stupid, they're really smart. You know, when it comes to fighting and stuff, maybe they're not, you know, going to be great quantum physicists, but you know, when it comes to that, they're really, really smart. So he says when the first time they've ever touched a gun, and they sit them down, they tell them what to do, how to fire the gun, what's the target, what you're trying to do. And he says that there's never a time when they shoot 5 shots that's outside of 1 inch. Mm-hmm. And that's everyone. And that's the first time they've touched the gun. And when they say, oh, you've got it within 1 inch, then the Gurkha says, next time I'll do better. He doesn't say, yeah, you know. So he says, That's because they have, and what he was saying is that we used to have this in the British culture. He says we don't have it anymore. You know, so that sense of authority is so strong. That's what made it work. British Empire worked because of authority, and as they lose it, it falls apart. So that's, everything works on that. If there's respect of authority, then everything can work. I mean, how does a business work unless they respect the businessman? How does it function? Unless you expect respect the government, unless you expect the intelligent, it doesn't work. You can't learn if you don't respect the teacher, right? You're not going to be a useful member of the administration if you don't respect the head of state. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that before that was very strong. But as devotees take up this kind of modern approach, the first thing to go is authority. And then with that goes any chance of actually establishing any of the ideals that they want. But, you know, why should we take care of women unless there's respect? Why should we take care of elders unless there's respect? Why should we listen to any authority unless there's respect? So without respect, it doesn't function. And that respect has to be based on shastra. Then it becomes, you know, of the quality that you can do something great with. If they just have it that basic, then it's a good thing to work with, and then you can develop it. But if someone inherently doesn't have respect, then it makes it very hard to establish. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's why Prabhupada's always talking about it. Is that okay? Yes.
The way you described the role of the cow in society, it seems like it's an integral part of the Pancharatric and the Vedic processes, deity worship and sacrifice.
Yeah, even the Bhagavad.
But that's my question is, to the extent that we overemphasize Kirtan or the Bhagavad Mark, does this have the danger of undermining Brahminical culture, cow protection, and such things?
The point is, you always want to get a balance. If someone is valuing, that's good. Better kirtan than something else, mm-hmm. Right? But the point is kirtan, those are direct activities, that's Bhagavat. But now how about deity worship, how about your lifestyle? The deity worship is Pancharatric, general lifestyle, means our general schedule, it fits into the Pancharatric, but the details of it are Vedic. So unless there's a balance, it doesn't work. Like you have to have Dharma, Artha, and Kama, but unless they balance, it doesn't work. It's only Dharma, there's no Artha and Kama. How do you perform Dharma if there's no Artha? Right? If the senses aren't engaged, then that there'll be dissatisfaction. Why will you commit yourself to Dharma? Does that make sense? You know, if someone's doing something and then everything falls apart on them, then it's why I should do this. You know what I'm saying? Because the Artha or the Kama didn't work. So you have to have a balance. But if it's only Kama, you lose all your money, you lose your Dharma. If it's only Artha, there's no Kama, there's no Dharma. So you have to balance it. And as we said, that's in balance, then that has to move towards renunciation, towards bhakti. And renunciation means it's not for you, it's for Krishna. It's not a separate endeavor. So renunciation is not a separate endeavor. Just like doing your work, the Dharma is not a separate. I do my work, not for me, for Krishna. So it's all one thing that goes together. So if that balance is there, but if someone is all about the work, or it's all about renunciation, or it's all about the devotion, then it's missed. It's out of balance. But at least if it's according to Guru Shad or Shad, it's in the right direction. It's just how well it's done. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the idea, is that the Vedic system, the difficulty of it is understanding its balance. That's the hard part. The rules and regulations aren't difficult to understand. Right, it's understanding how they balance with everything else. Yeah. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It is his will that universal welfare work depends on the protection of cows and brahmanas. Thus, Brahminical culture and cow protection are the basic principles for human civilization. Right? So how you maintain the universe is based on this principle of taking care of Brahmins and cows. You take care of them, then the whole universe will go nicely. Right? Even if there's some problem with the Kshatriyas and this or that, things, the universal affairs go well. Right? As long as the Brahmins are doing the sacrifice, doing their worship and that, it still goes on. Right? Even if you have bad kings and that. So when the kings start harassing the Brahmins and cows, that's the point then where things fall apart. So, right? And so it says in welfare. So it is the, it's just the welfare is beyond what we're used to. We're used to just the lowest end, which is taking care of somebody who has nothing to eat or no mosquito net or stuff like that. Right? It's got to be, that's necessary. Right? Those in want, you have to take care. But the highest then is dealing with the soul. Right? So that's the priest. And then dealing with the Brahmins and the cows, and that means it takes care of the whole universe. Like that. Does that make sense? Kshatriyas are especially meant to protect the Brahmanas, as is the supreme will of the Lord. So this is the real meaning of it's God's will. To protect the Brahmins, right? Goro Brahmani Hitaya Cha. As within the body, the heart is a very important part, so the Brahmanas are also the important element in human society. The Kshatriyas are more like the whole body. Even though the whole body is bigger than the heart is more important. Right? So that's the point, is it doesn't take a volume of Brahmins.
Yes.
Right, just like it doesn't take a volume of Kshatriyas. Prabhupada mentioned that the British ran India with 200 people. 200 administrators managed the whole of India. And it, you know, I mean, other than the certain cultural difficulties, it ran smoothly, administratively. So it doesn't take many. That's the thing. So that's the advantage, is that if you start with the Brahmins, then you can actually affect the whole society. The whole world can be benefited. I mean, you see, what one person, Prabhupada, what he did, established the whole society and started everything doing, established the determination for pure devotional service. So that was one person. He said if there were eight of him, then they could take over the whole world, have everything running. Right. So you don't need many. That's the point. When the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas cooperate nicely, the other subordinate divisions, the Vaishyas or mercantile people and the Shudras or labor class, automatically flourish. The entire elaborate system of Vedic society was therefore based on the importance of the Brahmins and Kshatriyas. Right? So it's this elaborate system. That's why it's difficult. It's quite elaborate. The Lord is the real protector, but he is unattached to the affairs of protection. He creates Brahmanas for the protection of the Kshatriyas, and Kshatriyas for the protection of the Brahmanas. He remains aloof from all activities. Therefore, he is called Nirvikar, without activity. He has nothing to do. He is so great that he does not perform action personally, but his energies act. The Brahmins and Kshatriyas and anything that we see are different energies acting upon one another. Right, so though he's taken care of everything, he leaves it that it will be actually run by his energies. Right, so that's the principle.
Maharaj, the last part of that purport definitely appeared to be a paraphrasing of Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's last sentence about the Supreme Lord, cause and effect, without change, protects both.
Yes. Yes.
Directly.
Yes. So it's always going to be. It means it's whatever the Acharyas have written into their commentaries, the essential points are always in Prabhupada's purports. That's why he says there's nothing not in his purports. So our idea is that we're studying like this so we appreciate Prabhupada's, what Prabhupada's saying. We study the works of the Acharyas so we appreciate that, the breadth of what Prabhupada's saying. Because otherwise you say, yeah, we've heard that a million times, but there's more to what, we've only heard part of it. It means much more, and the Acharyas bring that out, then you see that. Does that make sense? So that's why the two go together.
Brahminical culture always goes with cow protection, right?
Yes.
So Chinese, there's Confucian, but they never raise cows. But they're considered as Brahmanas also. They function as Brahmanas.
But it's just like this. Let us say I take some bean sprouts, some carrots, a little bit like this. I cook them just a little bit, and I take some dough, and I put them inside, and I close it up in a nice way. What do I call that?
Momo.
Okay. But has it been cooked?
It's cooked?
No. Before cooking,
yeah.
I call it a momo. Okay.
Yeah.
After cooking, I call it a momo.
Yeah.
Which of the two momos is more complete?
After the cook.
Okay, so the Confucian with cows would be more complete. Confucian without cows is less complete. Okay. Does that make sense? But it's still Brahminical. Is that okay?
Yeah.
But not cooking the cow.
Yes, not cooking the cow.
And the axe protection?
That's over in Tibet.
Yeah. But so this still can function, right? Even without the raising cow.
It works, it's not as good. You know, because when you add the cow, then generally that's when you add Vishnu and things like that. Because Confucius will just be functioning on the Brahman platform. Right? But you want to bring it up to Bhagavan. So that's what we're saying. But it's still Brahminical.
Oh, yeah?
You know? Just like a Mayavadi sannyasi, we respect them as a sannyasi. We don't respect what they're saying, but we respect their lifestyle as a sannyasi. Right? They're renounced, they're detached, they're following scripture, they have their sadhana. So that aspect we respect. As long as they don't open their mouth. And that's really the problem.
So they're in the Brahma platform also.
Yeah. Confucius will just be looking at that. Right? If it's good, it goes bad, and if it's bad, it goes good. Just, it's time. So why is that? Because the dynamic of the masculine and feminine principle. So that's Brahman. Right, because it's not specific. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
I have this doubt, the Brahmanas. I think Brahmanas, sometimes they just defend themselves. They really need Kshatriyas,
yeah? They can take care of themselves, but if you want to function in a social context, then the Kshatriyas take care. Because otherwise, they can live on their own, go to the forest, and you know, life goes on. But then what benefit does the society get? So if you want the society to get benefit, Kshatriyas have to protect. Does that make sense?
Just to make a favor to the Kshatriyas, to accept the protection.
That's there. But the point is it's a real relationship. But the point, if you're going to function within the social context, then you need more facility, and that means Kshatriyas have to take care. You understand? Otherwise, if they're just sitting on top of Loka, what benefit do you get? You know what I'm saying? It's just like this. If Vishwamitra himself was doing a yajna, he's attacked by the demons, he chants a mantra, destroys the demons, and carries on with the yajna, would you have heard about it? No. But because being a Brahmin, he doesn't do that, therefore he goes to Dasara, asks for Ram to come and do that. Then we hear about it. And then, you know, they go to Sita's Swayamvar like this, then Ram is chosen, you know, the whole thing there, Parasaram comes, you know, then it's a whole scene just because Vishwamitra didn't kill the demons himself. You understand? So, you know, you add to the flavor. Yes.
Maharaj, you mentioned that the dharma, artha, karma, and moksha should be balanced.
Yes.
And I don't know, what is the acceptable karma for Vaishnavas?
According to Shastra.
We don't talk too much about it. Can you elaborate on
that? We don't talk too much about Varnashram or Artha either, so then why don't we talk about karma? You know? It's like this. If you don't talk about the business, you don't make money. If you don't make money, how do you spend it? You know, and having spent it, then you can do something with it. So how are you going to get the karma is you have to start with dharma. Because if you say dharma, the sense is according to shastra, that means according to dharma. So if we haven't accepted dharma, then how are we going to understand sense gratification? Does that make sense? Yes.
In the beginning of Bhagavatam, Śrīla Gosvāmī says one should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation.
Yes.
And Śrīla Prabhupāda says always presented that as gratify the senses in so much as is required.
Yes. Means how much is required according to the individual. So everybody has a different idea of what's important. You know what I'm saying? Like somebody sitting in the middle of summer here, you know, sitting outside and appreciating the heat because where they preach, it's always cold and wet. So they come and would spend 2 months in Mayapur just to dry their bones out. So they wouldn't bother with fans, nothing, because they just like the heat.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense?
That's the karma.
Yeah. For someone else, then their karma is turning on the AC. You understand? But unless there's dharma, there's no artha, and you can't pay for that AC. Okay? So that's why we don't talk about it. So, back to you asking, why don't we talk about it? We have been talking about it. We just don't understand. Dharma is what generates karma. You know what I'm saying? And if we actually started talking about karma, people would freak out because what they have, they just think it's whatever I want to do. No, it's what actually works for the senses. You know what I'm saying? So the senses also have their dharma, and you don't follow that dharma, you don't get sense gratification. So that's why if you don't know dharma, you don't have sense gratification. Though the Western culture is committed to it, how much do they get? Yes?
You said that in the West they don't teach character in schools. So can you give a practical example of how to teach it?
Means it comes to interaction and working with others and having duties and stuff like that. So therefore, having duties that you must perform, that then generates it. Understand? So then you can see the closest thing you have to it is like a boarding school. You know, not necessarily more modern, but let's say like the older English boarding schools. Everybody had duties, they had responsibilities. One devotee, you know, went to such schools. He told me when he was 9, he was given the responsibility of, I think it was the what do you call it? You know, the closet where they keep the coats and stuff.
Coat room?
Yeah, the coat room. So it's not a big place. I mean, it's not a small place when you're talking about, you know, I think it was Harrow or something, you know. So it's, you know, it's a lot of coats. But that, and he had one kid under him who was younger who he had to, you know, manage and get that place organized. So from 9, they start their duties and to respect, you know, and who's higher than you, they respect. So they had some system. It was enough for niti. So they were good administrators. They either knew how to lead or they knew how to follow. And technically you have to do both because there's always someone above you. Right? And that, and so they don't, it worked very nicely. But nowadays there's what exposure is to that. You know, even you're at home, how many kids clean the house? How many kids mow the lawn, rake up the leaves? You know, edge the garden. Go out and hoe the garden, weed the garden. Go out and pick the stuff, you know, to go. You know, they want to eat, go out and pick it. You know what I'm saying? Take care of guests. Deal with guests properly. You know, keep your room nice. You know, everything, you know, is ordered, everything's in its place, everything's dealt with nicely. Respect, you respect everyone in the family, you deal nice, you deal with the, you know, family, friends, relatives, guests. Are those trained in the house? Individuals may, but as a general rule, people don't even know these things exist. So, does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the thing. So that's what you would be trained in school.
So nowadays, the Brahmanas, they have no mystic power. So how can they control these Kshatriyas?
You need to have mystic power to control them.
Otherwise, the tendency is they are always, the Brahmanas, they are always controlled by Kshatriyas. Because
the thing is that who trained those Kshatriyas? The Brahmins, so they've already trained them how to properly behave. Then
like in China, the Confucian students, they're always controlled by the kings. And
but the point is whoever is the king wasn't trained by the Confucian Brahmin. If he had gone to his ashram, then he would deal differently. You understand?
So you mean the Confucian who teach the king is not qualified?
No. What we're saying is those who are kings weren't trained by the Brahmins. They just grew up in their village and all that and saw an opportunity and took over. That's all. So because he's a village boy who now has, you know, all this power, then, you know, He institutes the rule of ten. Now, if he had been trained by a Confucian, he might not use the rule of ten. You understand?
Yeah, but the tendency is they want to
control. Don't worry about the tendency. Worry about what makes things work. You know, if you have mystic power, it makes it, yes, easier, but it's not that's essential. You know what I'm saying? So, the thing is the mystic power comes from austerity, but the real austerity is devotion. You know what I'm saying? Prabhupada, you know, mentions that for the kids, going to Mangalartik, that's their austerity. So the devotional elements, these are the real austerity. Because the other things we don't really have the qualification for. Does that make sense? Okay. Now I have resolved all my doubts simply by meeting you. For your lordship has very kindly and clearly explained the duty of a king who desires to protect his subjects. 5. In his purport to verse 5, Srila Prabhupada describes from his own experience the powerful effect of meeting a great personality. Lord Chaitanya says that one should always try to associate with saintly persons. Because if one establishes a proper association with a saintly person, even for a moment, one attains all perfection. Somehow or another, if one meets a saintly person and achieves his favor, then the entire mission of one's human life is fulfilled. In our personal experience, we have actual proof of this statement of Manu. We once had the opportunity to meet Vishnupad Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. And on first sight, he requested this humble self to preach his message in the Western countries. There was no preparation for this, but somehow or other, he desired it. And by his grace, we are now engaged in executing his order, which has given us a transcendental occupation and has saved and liberated us from the occupation of material activities. Thus, it is actually a fact that if one meets a saintly person, completely engaged in transcendental duties and achieves his favor, then one's life mission becomes complete. What is not possible to achieve in thousands of lives may be achieved in one moment, if there is an opportunity to meet a saintly person. Because Because the point is it's the connection to the Lord. Otherwise, we're going on, we're performing our duties, we're trying to make our duties better, but it's a connection to Krishna that makes it perfect. Right? And that's always, so that moment, that's what's the uniqueness, is that it connects us. Now, if we have further association, then we learn better and better how to connect.
Yes.
Right? Because otherwise, you know, we'll have our idea that, yes, everything's connected, but then, you know, as we know from the stages of Anartha Nivritti, you know, you start doing and then you think, yes, I'm the greatest. Yes. Right? You know, so that's the first point. So that means technically in boxing, then our man was only on the first stage. Right? So then it moves, you know, that then, you know, because it's new, so therefore it's exciting, and then you think it's the greatest, and then when it becomes part of the thing, then sometimes you're engaged, sometimes not, right? And then it's a matter of, well, you know, should I be so renounced, or we can engage the senses and all that, then it's determined, no, I'm going to do this, right? So it comes through stages to get to that. So always that, but in any case, that's on the path. That is bhajana kriya. We are performing bhajan. But until it comes to that point where we're, you know, wanting, this is what I'm going to do, then it becomes stable. Right? Then we'll say, this is, you know, more serious.
Yeah.
Right? We drop the momo into the, we put the momo into the water. Okay. Still not cooked, but now it's further forward. Yes. Yes.
Does this point come by itself, or it still requires our determination?
Does that point come by?
By itself. The point when you give up your material duty, devotion just takes over. Does it take over?
No, well, you have to, it means it's a voluntary aspect. It means you have to want it. You're not going to get something you don't want. Does that make sense? In your life, everything you're getting is what you've wanted. So you want Krishna, then you'll get. You don't want Krishna, then you won't get. You come in contact whether you want or not. But to cultivate that, you have to want. Right? It is therefore enjoined in Vedic literature that one should always try to associate with saintly persons and try to disassociate oneself from the common man. Because by one word of a saintly person, one can be liberated from material entanglement. Right? Because so many words are spoken, but something sticks. So that's the one word. You know, it's not that you come and the saintly person's there and he says, oh, and that's it. And then you go, life changes. You know, yeah. I mean, that's stuff for, you know, B movies. But yeah, right. A saintly person has the power, because of his spiritual advancement, to give immediate liberation to the conditioned soul. So one's liberated from the material endeavor. Now one takes up spiritual. But now one has to progress on the spiritual path. Swayambhuva Manu continued, "It is my good fortune that I have been able to see you, for you cannot easily be seen by persons who have not subdued the mind or controlled the senses." Right? So seeing one thing, it's not that others, one you have because of the level of where they are, not common persons don't see the Prajapatis. So you do have that aspect. But even you can physically see the person, unless you have controlled senses, and that you won't actually, a subdued mind and controlled senses, you won't actually appreciate what you're seeing.
Yes, yes.
Like we said the other day, you take a bunch of, you know, crazy 8-year-olds into the Louvre, what do they see? Nice open space to play ball. You know? So they don't have the controlled mind and senses that to be able to appreciate what's there. So you have two aspects. One is, you know, who gets up to, you know, where the Prajapatis live. But two is you don't have, they're not able to see, appreciate what they're actually dealing with.
Mark? Prajapatis, is that Janaloka?
I think Mahar. That's where they live. Like that. Because we saw Gopal Kumar. Not Gopal Kumar. Was it Gopal Kumar?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gopal Kumar. He went to Mahar. And then at night they would sleep on jhana because it gets a little too hot in Maharaj. You know, it's just uncomfortable. You know, it's just like this. If you could sleep, you know, you sleep outside of the veranda in 50 degrees, you go inside, you know, where it's, you know, 20 degrees, and, you know, for sleeping, you do it. Like that, so, you know. And then in the morning, then the heat goes down, and then, you know, it's good. Back home, you know, go back to your house. Like that. So those are connected. But tapa is in its own category, because that's just celibates. Right? You know, so they're just on that neutral stage. Then you're going on the other side, then you go to Brahmaloka, then you have again grihasthas, but then it's, you know, that's the detachment and everything is much greater.
Sacrifice.
Yeah. Yes.
When we say that to subdue the mind and control the senses is important in order to see, can we say the same thing for other senses, like to hear?
It's for anything. Yeah, because if the mind's not subdued or controlled, you don't hear what's going on. There's some sound in the background and you're thinking about something else, or, you know, you're riding on your bicycle and thinking of something else and you don't see the tree. You know, so, like that with anything, you know. You're sitting there and grumbling about something and eating and didn't even notice that you ate. Or, you know, so it's the same. That's what I was saying before when Prabhu was asking you about karma. The point is, if you don't have controlled mind and senses, you don't have karma. Because how do you notice what is there? It's just like, I take some, let's say, you have a 3-star chef, they cook some special preparation. I give that to the guy working down at the dock with the tats, right? Then for him, what is it? You know? I give that to some, you know, connoisseur or something like that, and it, ooh. Why? Because it says it controlled this and that, you know. So you say, how do we know it's controlled? If it doesn't taste good, he doesn't swallow. Right? You know, so he only eats what tastes good. So he controls. So that means if you're good at anything, your senses are controlled. How does somebody win an Olympic medal? Their senses are controlled. Everybody else is going crazy. They're at the gym, you know, practicing for 8-10 hours a day. That's how they win. So the point is, this excellence comes from the subdued mind and controlled senses. So that's the point is that what the West calls sense gratification, India wouldn't even call that sense gratification. You know what I'm saying? Some boiled carrots and peas, you know, with a little salt on it, that's not sense gratification. Yeah.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, you understand? That's not sense gratification. You know what I'm saying? A one-night stand is not sense gratification. You don't even know what happened. You know, in the morning it's like, who's this? You know, okay. Get your shoes, get out. You understand? That's not sense gratification. But the West says this is sense gratification. So therefore, so what the Vedas talk about is sense gratification. You have to be qualified to be able to appreciate that. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the...
Lot of work to do.
A lot of work to do, yeah. So, like, yeah. As we said, if there's Dharma, then there's Artha. If you appreciate Artha, then there's karma. So since devotees haven't really accepted Dharma and Artha, then there's no need to discuss karma, because then they'll understand. Yes. Yeah? What to do?
Is there a situation of mistaking anartha to be artha? Because of the lack of Dharma?
That's when they're using niti. They're thinking niti is Dharma or niti is artha. But niti is just the mechanics of how to function with it to get the result. So when I say I'm just being practical, that's niti. Because everybody's upset and this, and it's not that they're upset because they didn't want to do their duty. They're upset because how they dealt with or how the whole scene went. It got the result, so that means they used niti. They didn't use dharma or artha. Because artha will, people will appreciate on the Pranamoy platform. So if it's not appreciated on that platform, it's just niti. So basically, all people use these days as niti, and even not very well. But, you know, those who, you know, they have their moments. You know. I am all the more fortunate to have touched with my head the blessed dust of your feet. I have fortunately been instructed by you, and thus great favor has been bestowed upon me. I thank God that I have listened with open ears to your pure words. Verses 6 and 7. Srila Prabhupada describes in his purport to verse 7 how the instructions of the spiritual master lead one in a practical way to perfection. It is the function of a saintly person to invoke Krishna consciousness in every forgetful common man. Manu said that since he was advised and instructed by Kardama Muni, he was very much favored. He considered himself lucky to receive the message by oral reception. It is especially mentioned here that one should be very inquisitive to hear with open ears from the authorized source of the bona fide spiritual master. How is one to receive? One should receive the transcendental message by oral reception. The word karna, randrai, means through the holes of the ears. The favor of the spiritual master is not received through any other part of the body but the ears. So that means that smile is not the... Okay. The real fact is that a bona fide spiritual master knows the nature of a particular man and what sort of duties he can perform in Krishna consciousness. And he instructs him in that way. So that's why then the idea of knowing Varnashram is important. It's not a matter of do we use or not. He's pointing out here, you have to know the nature. How will you know the nature? In the scientific way to work it together in a bigger picture, you have to know Varnashram. Then you can, therefore, then see the nature of everybody and engage everybody. Either in the way of how you preach to them, how you engage them in services. So that's the whole point. But it's not about the duty, it's not about the specifics of the duties. It's about the inherent nature. Like Kshatriya is to protect. How many meetings, management meetings you've been at that the purpose is protection? You know, unless of course you happen to be a mafioso, then of course it's protection. Oh, a new restaurant's open. We need to protect it. Somebody should go down and let them know that we're available. Right. You understand? So, how many, that's the point. No, it's how to control, how to get everybody to do what you want. You have some idea, and then it's getting... So, that's the niti aspect of it. Where's the dharma aspect? Where's the artha aspect? You understand? So, that's what's missing. So, the dharma is, it has to protect those who you're in charge of. It must protect dependents. If it does that, then all the other things work. Does that make sense? That's what you have. So it's not that, oh, I don't know all the rules. No, you have to know what's the essence, and then you expand from there. Everybody, the Vedic system is know the essence according to your ability, then know the details. The modern is know some details. If you have more ability, know more details. And then if you're fortunate enough to get into post-grad, then they might teach you actually principles. Yes. But the Vedic will start with the principles. And then according to you, you expand from that. So that's why even somebody who's very simple can give advice on Varnashram. Because they know the principles. Because principles anybody can know. A kid can know it. Right? Even dogs know. You do this, they can give you a whack. You do that, they pat you on the head. Right? They understand. Yeah. Principles are universal. He instructs to the ear, not privately, but publicly. That's also the other thing, is it's always, you give all the information on that's beneficial to everybody, and then afterwards, then, you know, what's the special just for me that I hear privately, you know, like that. But Prabhupada says it's not privately, it's publicly. That's the principle. Like that. Somebody's going, you know, so it's, there's always this thing, oh, but I'll get, you know, is there any instructions just for me? You know, it's like, okay. That's when you start looking at when's the next flight. Quote, you are fit for such and such work in Krishna consciousness. You can act in this way. Right? So there is the instruction and all that, as we said. It's based on Shastra. That's what the authority is speaking on. Right? But then it has to apply to you. So then you apply. If it works, then great. If it's not, then you ask questions. You make it fit. Or if there's some doubt, you bring it up. Right? So you make it work. Like Prabhupada said, how can we preach Krishna consciousness, which is the Vedic culture, if India is controlled by foreigners? And he says, no, Krishna consciousness is beyond. That's dealing with the soul. Maybe the body is controlled, but the soul is not controlled by foreigners. You know, what's the foreigner? The other souls? You know, so therefore it's universal. So understanding that, then he could preach. You understand? Why? Because the nature at the time was he was part of the Gandhi movement. Right? So you may bring up those doubts. And then having those answers, then one can act according to one's nature. Understand? The system is very simple. Right? We make it complicated. One has to receive the message of the spiritual master regarding how to act in one's capacity. For the spiritual master is expert in giving such instructions. This combination, the instruction of the spiritual master and the faithful execution of the instruction by the disciple, makes the entire process perfect, right? So you have to have someone who wants, that goes back to that point before, you have to want. You have that faith, you want, so you apply. You have that faith. What faith means is, what's there is that's what I want. I have faith in that. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes in his explanation of the verse in Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, that one who wants to be certain to achieve spiritual success must take the instruction from the spiritual master as to what his particular function is. Right? Because you have to have the right attitude. Right? And then you are taking what is the instruction and then applying that. Does that make sense? But if the attitude's not right, you won't get to the other processes. But like when we started this whole course, the first thing we discussed, that Prabhupada gives in the introduction to the Gita, is the attitude. Right? If the attitude is right, then you can learn. So if the attitude isn't right, you can't learn. Right? So that's the first thing. If that's there, then so the point is you have to want. And even if you don't, you're not sure, at least if you have the right attitude, then you'll hear properly with open ears. Then, having heard, then you can be convinced intellectually, because otherwise doubts means it's the mind. You know, that you're not sure, it could be this, could be that, I could get this benefit, that benefit. You know, so you're wanting to know, so you ask the question. Then you get, then it becomes clear, then you can function. Right? Makes sense? So it's a process. This process is probably is given that you have the right attitude. Then from that attitude, then you understand what the results are. Then having appreciated, okay, I want those results, so now how do you get those results? I can't just act, I have to know the subject matter. Then the subject matter. Right? Knowing the subject matter, now I can understand how to apply it. You understand? That's the process of learning. Right? So when people talk about, no, but how is it practical? The whole point is you have to have the right attitude first. That's why the challenging won't work. You know what I'm saying? Dealing with the challenging in an open forum works great for everybody but the challenger. Right? Because others then hear nicely. The challenger may or may not hear. Right? Does that make sense? But, in other words, you have that faith. Then you understand what the goal is, being committed to that, then the Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. Now I can look at the subject matter, focus on it, study it, learn how it's applied. Then I practice it, right? Because all that's shravana, then manana, now I practice it, then I contemplate, go back into contemplating on these, then practice, contemplate, then that will bring me to realization. That will give me the result, that will give me realization. You understand? So it's how we're learning the philosophy is also how we learn. It's not a separate process. Right? Does that make sense? So that... He should faithfully try to execute that particular instruction and should consider that his life and soul. Like, if it's not life and soul, then something else you do, because you have to do something that's life and soul. Right? So if you make that life and soul, then that means everything else will be connected to that, means all your activities become perfect. The faithful execution of the instruction which he receives from the spiritual master is the only duty of a disciple, and that will bring him perfection. One should be very careful to receive the message from the spiritual master through the ears and execute it faithfully. That will make one's life successful. Does this make sense? So this is really what makes things work. We're thinking is, oh, if I have this plan or that plan, or, you know, the plan happens to be strategic or not, you know, then things will work. No, this is where it starts. Because we saw is you can only get to the plan after you've done the other three. If I haven't heard it with the right attitude, I understand what the actual goal is, and I'm committed to the subject matter, then only I can make a plan. Nowadays, you start off with the plan. How does that work? You know what I'm saying? And where does that work? People who are already trained. They're committed to the army. They know what the goal of the army is. They know the military science and who they are. Then you come to them and talk strategic planning. It works. But you come to someone who doesn't know, you know, the difference means there's a bag. It's wet. And how to get out of it. Then you give a plan. It doesn't matter. This makes sense? Right? So that's the thing. It's a misnomer. All these say, well, what's the plan? What do you mean, what's the plan? What's the subject matter? What that subject matter can do? What, you know, goal? Because a plan gets a result. You don't know the result, what's the point of the plan? If I don't know where I'm going, it's like if I go into a bus station, I don't know where I'm going, what's the meaning of going up to the ticket counter? I know I want to go to this place. I want this ticket. That's the process. They gave you the ticket. It's the wrong ticket. You know, no, I want this ticket. So if you don't know the goal, there is no meaning of plan. If you don't have the right attitude, there's no meaning of plan. If you don't know the subject matter, there's no meaning of plan. Right? So you can't, it means Vasudeva is the main central point, but without Sankarsham, Prajumna, and Aniruddha, it's not going to function. And as we said, Krishna doesn't need to sit there in space. Right? There's activities, there's, you know, all these things are going on. But, yeah? No? Yes. You have to speak. That means even though we're open for oral reception, you have to actually speak loud enough that we can hear.
So knowing the particular nature of a particular devotee or a disciple is the duty of a spiritual master and
of authority.
Of authority, and then the disciple is just worried about
executing it. But because he has to execute it, he has to see that he understands it and his nature, you know, he understands how his nature matches to that. You know what I'm saying? It's not spiritual master disciples jump how high. You know, it's a matter of understanding how that process works. You know, jump, okay, why are we jumping? What's the benefit of the jumping? You know, what is the process of jumping? You know, then we get around to jumping. You understand? So that's the difficulty. The West, in the name of efficiency, truncates everything, and then you end up with something that doesn't work. Right? Otherwise, why is it every couple of years there's some new managerial technique and everything like that? Why? Because it didn't work. That's why. It's simple. It just didn't work. You understand? So, that's... That's the thing. You have to follow the whole process. You have to have the knowledge. Is that... One should be very careful to receive the message from the spiritual master through the ears and execute it faithfully. That will make one's life successful. So he said, is because that's the primary point, and anything else connected with that will naturally be perfect. Like that. So if you're saying we chant Hare Krishna, we don't care for anything else, great, as long as everything else in your life is connected to chanting Hare Krishna. If it's not, then you have a problem. Right? That's why the Vedic system gives so many other aspects to connect, so that you can see the difference between, you know, you can see the connection between some ordinary thing that I do and my chanting of Hare Krishna. That's why the middle stages are there. You know, just like we say, work to please Krishna. Okay, now if you are a brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyas, then generally your work is just directly please Krishna. Now what if you're a grihastha? How is your work pleasing Krishna? So therefore, it has to result in religious duties. Those religious duties have to result in renunciation. That has to result in pleasing Krishna. Therefore, my work is pleasing Krishna. Because I'm doing my duties in a detached mood to please Krishna. Then that's the whole thing. Does that make sense? So that's the problem is we're dealing with a society that's based now upon the community. And then, but using quips of the age of brahmacharis. When the society was a brahmachari society, we're using those quips. And then, you know what I'm saying? But the point is you have to add what's in between. You have to know the full meaning. Otherwise, it's just words. Yeah.
No? I was just thinking that community is 95% and that whoever in the ashrams is only 5%. So basically the management is taking care if in case they do good, only 5% of the society.
Yeah. And the rest of it, that's the advantage of the 95, is that you don't have to take care. But then if you're not taking care, that's not governance. Because you're not protected. So it's what's the whole point? I don't have to economically take care, legally take care. If there's a problem, hey, it's community. What has it got to do with it? No flies on Jack, you know. So what does that mean? That's not Brahmins. That's not Kshatriyas. That's the whole point. So if it's not, how do you have a social system? So even though everyone's talking community, you can't have one, because community means you have to start with Brahmins and Kshatriyas. Right, so community starts from Brahmins, not from people getting dirt under the nails because they're growing carrots. That's the whole point. That's how it could be. So what to do? Yeah, it's a good point.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda ki.